Good morning, everybody. Welcome today to Monday, the 26th of February. Praise God. I want to tell you today that I'm just excited about what God is doing. I'm going to share a testimony here real quick. Last night I went to the, first let me welcome you to the Tom and Sarah Ministries podcast. Live, also our YouTube. Just want to welcome you here. Subscribe to the channel. Comment, like, whatever. Share these videos off of Facebook if you so desire, and also share the video. Podcast. Let people know it's out there. Abounding Hope, Encountering God. That's what we do. Anyway, let's go back. Last night, yesterday, actually was a powerful day at Bethel. Haley Braun had shared yesterday morning, and the power of God, I want to call it the weighty glory of God, the Chabad of God, as they say in Hebrew, came into the building, and it was powerful. I was going to go up in prayer, but it didn't turn out as like I wanted to. It wasn't feasible at that moment. But I want to say last night, the presence of God was literally on me virtually all day. I went last night and I was in tremendous back pain. I had... I'm going to say on a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably it was an 8.5, right about that pain level. And my back was hurting. I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. I had been standing most of the week helping out at the Bethel School, the prophetic conference. It was powerful. And God was there. It was just incredible. Anyway, it carried over into Sunday. And then Sunday night when I went to the front to be a part of, just to be a part of worship. And I couldn't do it. And so I went back to my seat and I just kind of hung out there. Sometimes I would have to sit down. Well, as it turned out, as I'm sitting there, they had baptisms last night, which usually means a longer service. And so it was getting pretty long. My back was hurting really bad. And yes, God did use me in the prophetic, and I'm grateful for that. The deal was, and how it turned out, was that Pastor Bill got up to speak. And before he spoke, he had words of knowledge, and three of his words of knowledge dealt with me. One of them was spinal cord. Another one was broken bones and that were healed and that we felt were healed at that time. And then also the neck area right here on the right side of the neck at the curve, where the neck and the shoulders meet and the spinal cord meets. Anyway, I stood up at the back and then I raised my hand at the broken bones. I raised my hand at this thing, like my whole body was just crazy. Anyway, and then he had started to have people pray. And as they prayed, like almost instantly, the pain in my back subsided and went from an 8.5 to a 0. And then I felt like my spinal cord did this little thing. It just like that. And it just, just kind of like all the discs went back into order. I felt it went into order. And it was like, wow. And the pain left. The only thing that was left over was my trap. I don't know what it's called, the deltoid or whatever trapezoid. No idea what the muscle's called. But back there, I just felt like a pull or something. And I felt that later. And the pain in my back dissipated. My neck dissipated. It was like, it was a miracle how it happened. And then, I didn't notice it until this morning, but I had on my right hand here, I was playing basketball a while ago, and I went like this to catch the ball as it was coming on this guy, and this was just like this. It got caught on his upper arm, kind of like that, and the ball came and hit me right here and broke the bone here and here. Okay, I was in Latvia at the time. I went to the emergency room afterwards and played a little bit more, but I went to the emergency room and the doctor happened to be drunk in the ER. That's how it was in Latvia. And then so this was back in 95, I think it was 96, something like that. Anyway, so all they did was they just put a little piece of rubber here and wrapped it, and that was it. And I understand that because there's not much you can do with these bones right here. There's so many of them, but it didn't set. And for right about 96 till yesterday, it was broken. It was separated, and there were times when the bone would make it so that whatever I did, this indentation would go deeper, and it would be like you could put water in there. It was crazy. So I didn't think anything of it, and the pain was gone. I got to share a little bit last night, and then I woke up this morning and I noticed. Okay, I mean, like, there was heat in my hand, but I didn't even think about it at the time. When they were praying, I didn't think about it at the time, but I woke up this morning and the indentation was gone. Okay, so I had broken it here and here, and so there was just that piece of bone would always float. So it turned out, I feel like today God healed it because that indentation is gone. That's one thing that I can look at and notice. I just thank the Lord for that. That was incredible that God did that night. It was just like my bones were healed, and so I'm just believing God. I got this caught in a door one time, and then so this is all messed up, but God is going to fix that. And I had my thumb. You can see the scar right there. Anyway, my thumb almost got chopped off by a table saw. God fixed that. God healed my knee. This wasn't last night, but these were before. God healed my knee of the I don't know what it's called, the ACL or the MCL. And so I have full operations in that. I got full mobility in my legs. I'm able to walk without pain. And so praise God. At my age, I'm just excited about it. So anyway, those are some testimonies for the first 8 minutes in of our podcast, of our teaching. So we're going to go into John 15, okay? And he says that in John 15, verse 1. But let's pray before we go in there. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. I praise you and I honor you. Thank you for the work that you did last night. Wow, you're so good. Jesus, you're amazing. You're blowing my mind, so thank you. Anyway, in John 15, I am the true sprouting vine. I'm reading out of the Passion. I am the true vine, Jesus said. And the farmer or the vine dresser who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches, connecting me to them by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches. Okay, he takes up every fruitless branch. Okay, he doesn't remove them, but he takes them to himself as a wise, loving farmer. And he lifts them up off the ground to enhance their growth. In the context, Christ's endless love for his disciples on the last night of his life on earth, it emphasizes God's love for those even who fall away and disappoint him. Pretty much, I think he was like kind of like letting Peter know, and even though Peter's denial did not frustrate him, it didn't make him sad. Actually, the Bible only says that Jesus, that in Luke, actually, it says they caught eye contact after the cock had crowed, after the rooster had crowed that morning. And Peter looked at him, and Peter went and wept. Okay, but I don't think it really, really bothered him. And I'm going to talk about this in just a moment. And pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken of you have already cleansed you. You are already clean because of the word that I had spoken over you. Okay? And I just want to thank God for that. He says that this word pruning can also mean cleansing. So be aware of that. But you're already cleansed because of the word that I have spoken over you. So you must remain in life union with me. So remain in me. So in other words, be grafted into me. For I remain in life union with you. For as the branch, for as a branch severed from the vine cannot bear fruit, so your life must will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine, or being grafted in to mine. I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But you will live separated. When you live separated from me, you are powerless. Okay? The branch of the Lord is now Christ. Living people. It's Christ's living people living in him. And it branches out from him. Okay? We have to be connected in him. Everybody say, in Jesus. You have to be. He is the standard. Our understanding of the Bible is not the standard. He is the standard. So if you want to live like Jesus lived, you have to live, you have to look at his life and live like he lived. Okay? Most of the time, I see this, what would Jesus do sticker, or, you know, wristband WWJD. What would Jesus do? Michael Jr. Has fun with that and just says, you know, well, one of his brother's names was James. So whenever Jesus was gone, they would say, well, what would James do? And must have been a lot of pressure on James. It's a big deal when you realize the power and the anointing of God. It's just amazing when you recognize that. You have to live in life union. Now, my grandfather was a vine dresser. He was a vine. He had wine vineyards, and my dad inherited, I think, some of those wine, or my mom did. And it was like a teardrop-shaped bottle like they have in Italy with the wicker around it. And my grandfather would go out, and if the branch was alive, in other words, it wasn't just a stick growing out, but there was some fruit on it, he would prop it up off the ground so it would start to grow some fruit. And if it didn't grow the fruit, he would prune it. He would cleanse it. He would prune it from the vine. The sticks would be pruned. And, you know, those brown sticks that come out of the vine that are still connected with the vine, I thought they were dead vines. But they're not dead. What they are is they are just energy-taking vines that come out of the branch. Or they're that they were energy-taking branches that were coming out of the vine. And so basically, they would suck all the water out even though nothing was grown. So they would cut those off. That's called pruning. And I say this to you because Jesus prunes us. Okay? He wants, in Romans 8:39, he says that we are conformed, we are predestined, we are destined. Our destiny is to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Everybody say conformed. Conformed into the image of Jesus. So anything that does not look like Jesus in our life gets cut off from us because it doesn't look like us. It's not how we're supposed to act. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that says you're better than this. Don't act like that. So you remain in life union with Jesus. And you're going to yield a greater harvest. Now, a vineyard, they would have a vat that they would throw the grapes into, and then sometimes they would roll a stone over it to get the juice out. Remember Gideon in Judges 6, he was doing that, but he had wheat in there and using that stone to crush out the wheat. I know in The Chosen, they had Peter's wife was stepping on the grapes with her feet, and she would crush them down. And that's what happens. We get crushed by the Lord so that we can, the juice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit can, come out of us. So let's go on. Verse 6. A person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and burned. Okay, so those sticks that are cut from the vine that don't bear fruit, that are just the brown sticks, they get cut off and they get thrown into the fire and they're burned. But if you live in life union with Jesus, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it'll be done for you. All right? So if you want God's answers, if you want, because Jesus said earlier that ask anything in his character and he will do it. Now, if you want that to happen, you have to live grafted in or in life union with him. You have to live married to the Lord. And that word for word there is not logos, it's rhema. If the living word lives inside of you, it will be powerful. That these words will be strong in you. That's why we read the Bible. We don't read the Bible just as an exercise. We read the Bible to get the word in us. And I was reading in Exodus this morning, and Moses, I love Moses, but Moses, after he builds the tabernacle, the cloud comes down and lays on top of this tabernacle as Moses goes in to talk to God. The other day, in one of the meetings, I was watching over the great room at Bethel, one of the overflow rooms. And in the room, there was a mist or a bluish type. It wasn't water, but it was like a cloud, like a cloud. But I don't know what it was, but it was hovering in the room. It was powerful. And then, so if this living word lives powerfully, it'll make you live powerfully in us, then we can ask whatever we desire and it'll be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. We're going to end there, but understand this. The Word of God has to live strong in you. It lives strong in Jesus. All right? The Word of God has to live strong in you. Let it live strong. Stay connected to the vine. Let the juice of the vine or the nutrients from the vine overwhelm you. Let them overtake you. Let them cleanse you, so to speak. The hope that we have is found in this vine, in Jesus. He is the hope, not anything else. God is the hope. Some people love to sing, play worship, lead worship, because they love the goosebumps. I want us to get away from goosebumps and start getting into this man called Jesus. See, he was all God and all man at the same time. He was never missing out on his godhood, so to speak. And he was never missing out on his manhood, so to speak. Being a person, being alive. He never missed out on that. And then so that's why he was living a life. And Pastor Bill said it so eloquently last night, that if God, if Jesus had lived life on earth as God, then all we could do is just kind of like, well, you know, he was God. What can I tell you? And we wouldn't live like he does. But he didn't. He lived as a man in right relationship with God to show us that we can do it. We end up becoming spectators if we think he did everything as God. Everything he did as a man. But he was fully God at the same time. Okay? He was fully God at the same time. My mind just goes, and I don't understand it all. But I'm just saying what the Bible teaches, okay? Jesus said in verse 5, I am the sprouting vine, you are my branches. You remember in the Old Testament, I don't remember where it was, but it talked about the candle, the light that had seven branches outside of it. You are those seven branches. The church is those branches. I'm just praying, asking the Lord if I should go on or not. No, I'm gonna stop there and just let that be. God loves you guys. God loves me. And God's taking us into a new realm. I felt in my heart today that some people are feeling out of sorts because they either failed spiritually or physically in some area. And God wants you to know that you haven't failed. God already took our mistakes and our failures before we were even born. He took them into consideration. He goes, you know, Tom's going to mess up here, but I'm going to make provision for that. He doesn't give us grace so that we can sin. Grace is undeserved favor. Not getting what we deserve. Mercy is getting what we don't deserve. But not only is grace not getting what we deserve, grace empowers us to overcome the enemy. Grace gives us power, empowers us to overcome sin. Paul said it best, should we sin that grace may abound? Of course not. Stop it. We should not sin that grace may abound. God loves you, and he wants to give you power to overcome these things. And you may be feeling today that you failed the Lord, much like Peter felt like that. Remember, Jesus isn't concerned so much about whether or not you failed him. He can handle that. He's God. He can handle it. And then so we just go on from there. Do you love Jesus this morning? I sure do. I want to thank you for joining me today. You're coming out of your dark season. You're coming out of the failure. You're coming out of the mistakes. today. Don't lose hope. He's cleansing you with his word. Get into the word. Do you remember when you just get excited about the day that you got saved? You're like, yay, you know? That's where he wants to take you again. Well, anyway, that's it for today. I want to thank you for joining me. And hey, we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you.